This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Clifford May, president of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies here in Washington. We want to get his insight and reaction to the news over the weekend that the U.S. Involvement in the release of Lockerbie bomber Abdelbaset al-Megrahi was a little bit more complicated than our administration has had us believe over the past 11 months. What we now know, due to memos released from folks working for the U.S. Embassy in London, is that we were opposed to his release altogether, but did suggest that an outright release was better than transferring him to a Libyan prison. And Cliff, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
How does this change the complexion of just what the U.S. position on this was a year ago, about this time when Megrahi was released?
Well, I think it's rather confusing, and I think we probably should have more information. This was a terrible terrorist crime we're discussing, and we're talking about the fact that the man principally responsible was released with untrue information about his status. We've heard a lot of different things about the U.S. position, about BP's position, the Scottish government, the English government, the British government. I really do think we need some transparency here to see what happened. It sends a dreadful signal when a mass murderer ends up being freed not that long after his crime. I think it's a very serious matter.
Cliff, in terms of what the U.S. position should it have been do not release him from Scotland, end of statement? Or should we have gotten involved in the other part of the discussion about if he does leave Scotland, here's what should happen?
No, I kind of think the former is correct, that that the U.S. government position should have been this is a convicted terrorist. He should never again see the light of day except from a prison courtyard under any circumstances whatsoever. If we are in a war against violent extremism or militant Islamism or whatever, I think we have to take those fighting the war against us seriously. I think we have to take terrorism seriously. The idea that people can be in jail for longer periods of time for much less crimes than blowing up a passenger plane in the skies of Scotland strikes me as just shameful.
Cliff, do you see this as emblematic of anything else in how the war on terror is prosecuted, or should we pretty much limit it to the circumstances directly involved here?
Well, I think it's one more symptom that we're not thinking through the situation we're in, that we are not understanding that there is a war being waged against America, against Israel, against the West, against what our enemies call the Crusader Zionist Alliance. That war has various fronts, for example, in Iraq and Afghanistan. The idea that those are two separate wars, well, that's nonsense any more than that we had two separate wars when we fought Nazi Germany, Imperial Japan. That was one war. We not only need to understand we're fighting one war, we also need to understand who it is we are fighting, what our enemies believe, what motivates them. Are there differences in the ideologies of a Libyan terrorist and a Saudi terrorist and an Iranian terrorist? Of course there are, just as there were differences between Italian fascists, German Nazis, and Japanese imperialists, but they had enough in common. Once we understand who they are, what motivates them, what their goal is, then we need a strategy for defeating them, for winning this war. We have none of that. We have none of that 9 years after the 9/11 attacks and 31 years after the Islamist revolution in Iran, which effectively, I would argue, really began this whole war.
270 people were killed in December of 1988 when Pan Am Flight 103 blew up over Lockerbie, Scotland. That's why it's known as the Lockerbie incident, the Lockerbie bomber. And Cliff, some have said, and I even spoke with a former Reagan administration official today who said if the U.S. had put our foot down here and said under no circumstances do we support you releasing him on whatever grounds you even want to consider, that it would not have happened. Is that an accurate assessment?
I think it probably is. I think the British, if they had heard from us that we were totally against this, that we would consider this a form of surrender in a global war, I think the British would have been very likely to take that to heart, especially if they thought we might speak about it publicly, thought it might injure our relations and our long-standing alliance. Yeah, I kind of do give credit to that idea.
Cliff, you mentioned before that this is potentially emblematic of the fact that we don't have a real clear strategy, real clear endgame here. What's the message, if any, received by our enemies as a result of how this all played out?
By our enemies see us as weak. Our enemies see us as feckless. Ayatollah Khomeini, who led the Iranian Revolution in 1979, said after we failed to respond to the takeover of our embassy, the Americans cannot do a damn thing. He said that many times afterwards, as have other Islamist terrorists waging war against us. They need to see us as resolute, as determined, as standing up for our citizens, for defending our civilization in every way. If they need to see us as strong, if they see us as a weak horse, they will continue to beat us.
And in our last minute or so here, what's the clearest way to do that? Obviously, there's a lot of different components to prosecuting this war, but what would be the first couple of steps that would really send the message that we're getting serious?
Well, for one thing, it would be useful, I think, for the president to clearly define the conflict we're in and the enemy we face. I suspect Newt Gingrich, who's been talking about this privately with a number of people, will shortly make a speech about pretty much exactly that. Then I think it's also we should be determined, any battlefield in which we meet this enemy, we should be determined to defeat the enemy there. That's one of the reasons I thought it was so important we stay in Iraq, to defeat al-Qaeda in Iraq and not think that al-Qaeda in Iraq had nothing to do with al-Qaeda anywhere else. It's a reason why I think we should be cautious about leaving Afghanistan too early and in an unstable situation. We want to show that militant Islamism, jihadism, is a dead end, metaphorically and literally. And every way we can send that message is probably useful.
Cliff, very interesting. Thank you so much for your input today.
Thank you.
Clifford May is president of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies here in Washington. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.